Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Well, it's a great honor to be here and you always know when Michael's emceeing that you're going to have a laugh. Is that true? He is just full of life and he's actually a fantastic MC, isn't he? He does an incredible... Oh, Nat's like, oh, a little bit. He's like, all right. it is a real honor to be here. I've been looking forward to coming here and sharing with you and just feel so privileged to have known Phil and Nat and Michael and Holly and a number of others for a number of years now and just been really amazing to see the journey. I preached here right at the beginning of the church and haven't been back for a few years because Phil didn't like my preaching last time. No, not really. We all go on a journey, don't we? Preaching here for the first time in this building, I just want to, sometimes when you're a part of something, you don't always realize what you're a part of until you actually get to experience something else. But I just want to encourage you that there's something really special about the sense of family and relationships that's here. And you don't get that in every church. Some of you are new Christians, you're new believers here. You maybe come from, the local area or close to the city or wherever you come from. And maybe this is your first experience of church. You know, it's your privilege to be a part of a church like this. Not everyone gets to experience this. And not that, you know, atmosphere says everything about a church, but I really felt as just in worship today and as I've got to meet some of you that there's something really healthy about this place and there's something really accessible to people who don't know Jesus to come and have their faith questions answered. And today my job is really to contribute and complement what's already happening here. And I get the privilege to travel in my ministry and speak to lots of different churches and conferences and ministries and sometimes say something helpful and other times say something really helpful that speaks to people right where they're at. And we might have some time a little bit later on to pray with some people and share some words with people that God's put upon my heart. There are some resources for sale that we've got there. Sam is an incredibly gifted musician and worship leader, and he's produced an album. I've got a couple of albums from our church that you can listen to and help in your worship. And also I've written a couple of books. One of the books that I've got here is just called Supernatural. I understand you're in a series on the Holy Spirit, and this would be a great read to complement your own, I guess, study and insight into the supernatural. And today I'm going to be speaking on aspects of the supernatural. And so I'm just wondering whether you'll turn with me to John 10:27. Turn to John 10:27. Opening the Bible is a good place to start. How many of us agree with that? John 10:27. And I'm going to pray. And as I begin to pray, I'm just wondering today, if you're sick in your body, I've been sick the same time every month for the last 4 months. And often it's just before I go to minister somewhere. And I don't think that's just coincidence. But one of the things that I think is important to do is to set the tone spiritually, is actually invite the Holy Spirit, even though he's already here, to come and start to move and minister to people. And so if you're here and you're sick in your body today, as I pray right now, I just want you to quickly stand to your feet. If you're sick today, I just want you to stand. Let's just all stand together if you're sick. Why don't we just pray? Father, I just thank you today that you're a God who still heals today. And Father, I lift up every single person who is sick in their body. Lord, be it the common cold, be it, Lord, something that's going on more serious in their body, a disease. Maybe the doctor this week or in past weeks has said some things that have really caused anxiety and concern to, and even fear to come into some people's lives. Maybe there's a loved one here of someone represented here that's got cancer or something is going on. God, right now in Jesus' name, we pray the power of your Holy Spirit to come and touch every sick person's body, including me right now. Father, we thank you that there's power in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just lift up that name. Lord, we speak to every sick person's body and we speak restoration of health and strength in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that energy would be restored. Father, we pray that whatever is wrong in our body would be righted by your Spirit right now. Bring, Lord, into kingdom order. Lord, those things that are out of order. And Lord, we just pray that you give us the energy and the strength and the wisdom to know how to look after our bodies, to know, Lord, how to treat our bodies well. But Lord, also we're aware that we're living in a world that's been marked by a spiritual attack and marked by sin. And we just speak into the atmosphere of the spirit realm of this service right now, healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that as I preach this word this morning, that God, you would come, you would encourage our hearts. God, that you'd feed our spirits. I pray, Lord, that our ears would be unlocked to hear what the Spirit is saying to this church. And I just pray, Father, that we'd all leave today knowing that you are with us and that, God, we can have a vital, healthy, dynamic relationship with you. We can hear your voice and we can declare your word over people's lives. And so, God, we just lift up this service. We pray, Lord, for your anointing and your presence to be upon your servant as I speak your word to your people. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. You may be seated. Just a little picture that I had during worship for the church was that some of you are new in your faith. Some of you may have only been a Christian for a short time. And by a short time, I mean maybe, you know, as early as recently as a few weeks up to a few years. You're still relatively new Christian. And the picture that I had for some of you, those of you who are new believers in the house, is of being on a diving board. Anyone watched the Olympics and saw some of the diving and the guy who did a big belly whacker bomb, and we all laughed at them. And the picture that I had was of a whole bunch of you all on this one diving board who are new believers, getting ready to jump off into the deep end of the supernatural things of God. And God is going to take you on, he's going to quicken the pace through this series and this season in which you come to discern spiritual things. And some of you are going to find that some unique happenings and events are going to unfold in your life. You're not to be freaked out by that, but you're to understand that the power of God is real and God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak through you. And today what I want to speak to you about is hearing the voice of God. Hearing God's voice. And as I was preparing and thinking about this message today, I really felt the Spirit of God was saying to me, I want my people to clearly hear my voice. I want them to know my voice. I want them to hear my voice. And so John 10:27, as you look at that passage of Scripture, just one verse, Jesus is speaking and he says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Several years ago, I played a paintball game at an indoor paintball place around here probably, actually, maybe in Clayton. And halfway through the day, I was in this particular scenario, and I got hit in the side of the mask by a paintball that actually went through the vents of the mask and went into my left ear. And as soon as it hit my left ear, there was this ringing noise, and I thought, that's not good. And after the being a bloke, I didn't stop. I just kept playing, obviously, thinking it'll go away. But it didn't go away. And when we had a break, I went to the bathroom and tried to clean out my ear with water to try and get the paint out, but I couldn't hear anything in my left ear. That was a Saturday. The next day, I preached at church, not being able to hear all of the abuse and criticisms of people of my preaching, which was a good thing, on the next day on Sunday. And I ended up having to go to the hospital. And at the hospital, they were talking about surgery and cutting and peeling. And I was getting really nervous. And I'm there like 2 hours. And I felt like the room was closing in on me because I couldn't hear properly. Until finally, the specialist who was having a day off that day actually got a hold of him. And he said, look, he just needs to take these ear drops. And in 10 days, he'll be fine. And over the next 10 days, paint was literally coming out of my ear that had actually encrusted and dried up around my eardrum. I couldn't hear at all, and it was a scary thing. I don't know if you've ever had trouble hearing or seeing, but it's a scary thing when that event comes your way. And I think one of the most dangerous places to be in life is a place that is absent of the voice of God. It's a really dangerous place to be. In fact, I heard someone say once that God's wrath isn't fire and brimstone, but the absence of his voice. It's a really dangerous place to be in when God just decides that he's going to leave you alone. Because he tries to speak and he tries to speak and he tries to speak and he tries to engage with us, but our hearts are so hardened that we can't or we don't want to hear his voice anymore. And one of the most amazing things about God is he keeps pursuing us. He's so gracious. He's so long-suffering. He keeps pursuing us. And today you need to know there's a spiritual war going on for your hearing. There's a spiritual battle going on for your capacity to hear the voice of God. If I was to ask you today, what's the most important word in the Bible? What would you say is the most important word in the Bible? Well, for some of us, we'd say, I think grace is the most important word in the Bible. I mean, grace is a pretty central concept to the Christian faith, isn't it? It's a pretty key, not just concept, but reality that we have in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 says, for you're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Grace is pretty pivotal. Some of you would say faith is the most important word in the Bible, because after all, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. Faith is pretty pivotal. Some of you might say love is the most important word in the Bible, because after all, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is what? Love. Grace, faith, love. They're pretty big words, aren't they? I'd suggest to you today that for me, the most important word in the Bible is the word hear. Four letters, but absolutely pivotal. Because how you hear determines how you receive all the other aspects of the Christian faith. 1,300 times in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the word hear is used. In fact, in Isaiah 30:21, it says, your ears shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Mark 12:29 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and him only shall you serve. Romans 10:17 says, faith, that big word faith, comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. To the seven churches in Revelation, the Spirit of God says, he who has an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. On Mount Transfiguration, the Father said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Romans 10:10, how are they to hear if someone doesn't preach to them? St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel and necessary use words. I don't agree with St. Francis of Assisi. And while I believe that our example and our testimony and our actions is so important, the truth of the matter is if we don't lift up our voice and give a reason for the hope that we have in Jesus, no one's going to necessarily hear. And the church at this time in our society is on the mute button, and we need to turn off the mute button, and we need to put on the on button and turn up the volume, not in a way that is unhelpful, not in a way that's always telling society what we're against, but in a way that is attractive and draws the people out in the world to the reality of God's working in our lives. John 8:47 says, whoever is of God hears the words of God. And John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. You see, how you hear will determine what you receive. How you hear this message today will determine what you receive. What I'm speaking today is not just words. What I'm speaking today is spirit and life and truth. And what determines what you receive is the value you place on what you hear. You see, some people can be in an environment like this and hear this word, and it like sets their heart alive. It sets their heart alight. And it's like they receive something. It's a deposit of the Spirit of God. Others can be here and hear it and go, oh, well, you know, okay, that's great. But not necessarily place much value on it. And so the value you place on what you hear determines what you receive. Pastor Phil can come and Nat and the team can come and preach a word from week to week. And Josh can share his life story, his God story next week. And we can just hear that, or we can really hear that. Do you know what I'm saying? It's all about the spirit in which you come. It's all about the attitude with which you receive. You see, the parable of the sower is actually about the condition of your heart as it applies to how you hear. We've got the deaf hearer, we've got the superficial hearer, we've got the distracted hearer, and we've got the steadfast hearer. And what determines whether or not the seed of God's word actually germinates in our heart and grows us and builds us up is determined by how we hear. Now, one reason why we don't hear too well God's voice in our lives at times is because of the noise of everyday life. You know, we're sitting there and we're plugged up to the iPod and the iPhone and the MacBook and the TV and the radio and the CD and the DVD. And if you've got teenagers, they're doing all of that all at the one time. And then we wake up one day and we're like, why isn't it I don't hear from God much? And it's like, well, you've got to turn off all the noise of everyday life and plug into the Spirit of God. And some of us simply today, one of the reasons why you're struggling to hear the voice of God is because you just, the noise of everyday life. Do you ever get sick of the noise of everyday life? It's like, I've had enough of the radio. I've had enough of the TV. I've had enough of all the other voices. God, I need your voice to speak into my life. Recently, I felt like God asked me to draw aside and take 4 weeks just to, on a prayer sabbatical, and just pray and seek God. And I'd never done something like this. I've done prayer and fasting before over a few days and several days. But to really take 4 weeks, Monday to Friday, literally nearly 40 hours in the week, just to seek God and to pray. And you know how hard it was to disconnect from the iPhone and the internet and all the other distractions and just say, God, I need to hear you right now in my life. And you know what? Sometimes what we need to do is actually we need to commit ourselves and purge ourselves of the things of this world in order to get to a place where we can begin again in our relationship with God. And so for some of you today, you actually need to disconnect for a little bit. You need to disconnect from the noise of everyday life so that you can begin to hear His voice again. A second reason why we struggle to hear the voice of God at times is, how many of us know Satan is incredibly convincing? And the voice of God comes, like the voice of God comes to me at times and says, I want you to say that to that person and say that to that person. I'm like, they're going to think I'm crazy. No, that's just me. That's not really God. And the enemy's voice is incredibly convincing. He really doesn't have many new tricks in his bag of tricks, so to speak. Back in the garden, Lucifer worked hard with Adam and Eve to try and convince them that God didn't really say what He said. Some of you remember the story in the book of Genesis, and those of you who maybe not familiar with it, go back and read the book of Genesis or the first few chapters, because the enemy is there and saying to Eve, did God really say that you couldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? I mean, God didn't really mean it like that. What He really meant is that in that day, you'd become like Him, and He doesn't want you to become like Him. They forgot they already were like Him because we've been made in the image of God. And He's like, no, God knows that when you do eat of that tree in that day, that you're going to be able to know all things and you're going to be able to be like God. And what the enemy does in our life, he comes in a very convincing way and try and cast a shadow and cast doubt on what God has spoken into our spirit. You see, I know today that for some of you, you have retreated from something that God has put into your spirit. I'm even a sense, sensing like a word of knowledge for some people today God has said things to you in the past. God has called you to step out and do things in the past. But you're sort of like, you've been convinced out of it. You've been convinced out of what God put in your heart. And God is saying to you today, go back and remind yourself of the prophecies and of the words and of the impressions and of the things that God put in your heart and pick those things back up again. Because God's actually called you. He's actually put a desire within your heart to do certain things, but the enemy wants to do all he can to stop the plan and purpose of God being outworked in your life. You see, every time God has spoken major change in my life, a change in direction, a change of pathway or purpose or plan in my life, there's always been the voice of the enemy. Sometimes it's through people, sometimes it's my own insecurities, sometimes it's a number of things, but there's always been that voice trying to convince me, nah, that's not God. Nah, you're not hearing right. And I'm telling you today, you and I have got to test the spirits. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, if it's a real word from God, if God's really spoken to you, just put it on the shelf and let that word, you know, just come to pass, because if it's meant to be, it'll happen. Well, you know what? Amazing thing is, the Bible doesn't say put it on the shelf. The Bible says test the spirits. Test the word. I understand what people are saying when they say that, but 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit or every word, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. And so there can be voices that come to us from lots of different places. We've got to test those words and test that voice that's speaking to us. And it's through testing and experience we discern who is speaking. There can only be four voices at any one time. And no, we're not talking about necessarily chemically induced voices or psychologically different mental states of different voices. I'm talking about genuine, supernatural, spiritual voices that can speak to us. It can come in a flow of thoughts. It can be pictures, visions, dreams. We've lost the art of dreams. But all throughout Scripture, God communicated to people through dreams. For the last 3 years, my wife, God has been speaking to her every few days through dreams. Over the last probably 3 months, I've had some of the most vivid prophetic dreams that are already starting to happen, becoming reality. God speaks through these mediums. But there'll only ever be four voices. One is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the voice of the Holy Spirit will always, you know how to distinguish the voice of the Spirit? Because it'll be something that contributes to an outcome of life. God is about life. Jesus said, I've come that you may have what? Life. And life in all of its abundance and life in all of its fullness. And so when the Spirit of God comes, even when the Spirit of God rebukes us, how many of us know it's because He wants to bring life, all right? The second voice is the voice of the demonic, the voice of the enemy, and that's characterized by a lie. The devil is the father of lies. The devil will come and accuse and condemn you. We'll try and get you all focused on your fears and your insecurities and the things that you struggle with in yourself. Voice of temptation. The third voice is the voice of the flesh. How many of us have had this voice speak to us? And the voice of the flesh is characterized by laziness and wants you to always, you know, look for the easy way out and the easy option, and he's lazy when it comes to our relationship with God, and lazy when it comes to loving people. And then the fourth voice, and we don't have, I don't hear many of these encounters today, but is the voice of an angel. The angels in Scripture were messengers. They would come and they would give a message. And it's characterized by sit up and listen. You know that if an angel visits you and you have an encounter, it's like you will sit up and listen. Because most people who have an encounter with the supernatural, being an angel or something like that, find themselves actually being in awe, being very much afraid. But it's a direct message that God is trying to bring people. Is this helping anyone today? Now, I want to say to you today, give yourself space to make mistakes. Give yourself space to make mistakes. When I saw my kids take their first step and then fall over, I didn't like, you know, get really angry, spank them on the bum and ask them, why didn't you walk more? Why didn't you take more steps? And got really aggro at them. No, I got the iPhone out. I was taking pictures. I was tweeting everyone. I was Facebooking everyone. I was letting everyone know, my kid just walked. Now, they only took one step. Does anyone remember when your kid first took their first step? All right? They only took one step. But up for you and I as parents, I may as well walk a marathon, because it's like, they're my kid and I'm proud of them and they took their first step. Well, God's just like that. He doesn't come to us and sort of say, you know, well, you heard okay there, but you didn't hear there and you need to get better at that. And why aren't you better at hearing my voice? And why aren't you better at obeying me? And why aren't you better at this? And that's the voice of accusation. That's the voice of condemnation. There's a story about a husband who went into his wife and in the lounge room and said, he just came out of his prayer time with God, and he said, God's just told me I've got to get rid of my garage. And she's like, really? She's like, What do you mean? He goes, yeah, I was just in my prayer closet and praying, and just for the last half an hour, God's just been saying, get rid of your garage. I want you to get rid of your garage. And up in the heavenlies, the Father is there and he's laughing to himself, and he gets all the angels to come over and says, check this guy out. I asked him to get rid of his grudge, but he thinks I asked him to get rid of his garage. This guy's an idiot. I love him. And sometimes you and I hear garage when God says grudge. And we beat ourselves up, and sometimes we receive words or we give words to each other, and it's sort of like, you know, oh, that wasn't so right. Listen, give room, give space to actually make some mistakes, because God gives you space. God gives you room. He doesn't expect you to get it right all the first time, but you'll never get experience in hearing the voice of God if you don't step out in faith and be okay with making some mistakes. One of the other reasons why we struggle to hear the voice of God is pride. How many of us know that pride can only ever hear one voice, its own? Have you ever met someone that they've just got the answer to everything? Aren't they annoying? So like, they, you know, before you even answer the question, they've asked the question and answered it for you. Maybe you might work with someone. Don't look across the room. Maybe you might live with them. But it's like, they've always got an answer. And it's like they become so annoying, because it's like, is there any other space in your life for any other voice to actually speak? It takes real security and maturity to let someone else actually speak into your life. And who are we to expect that God's going to speak to us if we don't even let anyone else speak into our lives? You see, knowledge is power, and power puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. And God doesn't want prideful people to be powerful. So what he does is he hides his word from them. That's why the Bible says in Luke 10:21, Jesus is speaking, I praise you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, and you've revealed them to infants. If you are here today, you're in good company, because God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We're all foolish. We're all infants in this. We all need God's grace. We all need to walk in a sense of humility. Rick Joyner had this vision, this picture. He's a prolific author and communicator. And he had this vision one time of being in the heavenlies and all this shining armor on. And he looked down and he saw this dirty sort of garment that was over this shining armor. And he wanted to see all the glistening armor that he had on and sort of check out his fashion, so to speak. And so he started to take this dirty, rotten clothing, this garment off of him, this tunic off of himself. And as he began to take it off, the clarity of the vision actually started to dissipate and disappear. And there was an angel that came in this vision, this dream, grabbed his arm and said, no, don't take that garment off. Because although that garment looks dirty and looks rotten, the fact is that's your garment of humility. And without humility, no one will see the Lord. You see, one of the reasons why we struggle to hear the voice of God is we're so preoccupied with our own voice, we can't hear his voice. There's no room for that. But I'm here to tell you today, God wants to speak to you.
You've got to settle the matter in your heart that God's people will hear God's voice. This is what this passage is all about. Jesus said, my sheep, my people will hear my voice. How many of us know Jesus can't lie? How many of us know Jesus always gets his prayers answered? He's the Son, and he's interceding at the right hand of the Father right now. You and I may struggle at times to see the reality of our prayers coming into our reality, coming full circle into our lives, but Jesus cannot lie. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if Jesus said, my sheep, my people will hear my voice, that's the truth of the matter. And you've got to settle that matter in your heart today. You've got to believe in your heart that God wants to speak to you even more than you want to hear from him. You see, God is always speaking. However, I've discovered that God's first language isn't always English. Have you discovered that too? It isn't always English, or it isn't always Russian, or it isn't always some other language. Why? Because God's not human. God's spirit. And so there's a supernatural, spiritual language that we actually need to go on a journey of discerning. And the context of discerning how God speaks to us is relationship. You know, all the time, even now, music is being transmitted right now through radio waves in this room. Music, radio waves are happening right now. And it's constantly, music is around us constantly. But until you turn the radio on and tune into the frequency, you're not going to be able to hear the music that's on the radio. God's always speaking. He's always trying to encourage you. Prophecy is for encouragement and upbuilding and comfort and consolation. God is always about the business of communicating with you, because communication is at the heart of relationship. But you and I need to go on a journey with God in our relationship with him, where we learn to turn on the frequency and dial in and tune in to the voice of his spirit and what he's saying to us. Relationship is so key. Jesus died on the cross not just to forgive you of your sins. He died on the cross ultimately for a relationship with you. We've made salvation the whole house when salvation is the doorway, relationship is the whole house. Now, we have been saved, we are being saved, we will be saved at the consummation of the kingdom of God, when Jesus returns and we spend all eternity with the Father. But the truth of the matter is, God wants a relationship with you. He just doesn't want to get rid of all your sin and all the stuff in our lives that limits us in our relationship with God. God sent his Son to die upon the cross and remove the condemnation of sin and remove the penalty of sin in our lives, because he wanted relationship with us. It's not just about fulfilling a quota or a list of rules and regulations to try and help. But, you know, Christianity is not a behavior modification program. Christianity is a relationship with God idea. And as we relate to God and as we walk with God, by his spirit, he changes us. He sanctifies us. He makes us more like him. And voice recognition, when it comes to the spirit of God, is a product of relationship. Jesus said, my sheep not only hear my voice, my sheep know me, and I know them. That's relationship. I worked with a guy with a cop when I was in the Victoria Police Force, who worked on the Silk and Miller shootings. I don't know if you remember Gary Silk and Rodney Miller, the detectives that got shot in Moorabbin. I worked with this guy who for 2 years did surveillance and investigation on the killers, the shooters of these two police officers. And he said he would work for 2 weeks at a time investigating them for two full weeks. And he was on the listening devices. They tapped their cars. They tapped their house. They already knew who they were after about a month. But they were gathering evidence for 2 years before they actually took these guys to charge them and took them to court, because they wanted to make sure that they got the conviction right. And so this police officer, he's had 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And he said, even now, which was several years later, he said, if they called up today on the phone and I didn't see their face, it wasn't Skyping, it wasn't FaceTime on iPhone or whatever it is, but I just heard their voice. He goes, I would know instantly, I would recognize instantly who they were by the sound of their voice. You see, that's how God wants it to be with you and I. We spend so much time with him. Not just, you know, Corey, you're saying we lock ourselves away for hours a day. No, maybe once or twice every now and then you need to, but not all the time. But Paul said there's something called pray without ceasing. It's this spirit of prayer. It's this practicing of the presence of God in our lives. When you're driving the car, when you're doing study, when you're at work, when you're going about what you're doing, and as you practice his presence, you begin to recognize his voice. Some of us meet with God in the morning or at night, and then we ignore him the rest of the day. Does anyone know what I'm talking about today? And we sort of, we date God for 30 minutes once a day, but we forget about him the rest of the day and we get on with our lives. We date God on Sunday, but then we, the rest of the week, we just do what we want to do. No, God wants to be abiding and living inside you and I 24/7. And not just, although he is living, he wants to speak to us. He wants to bring us closer to himself. My son Zach got lost at the Royal Melbourne show several years ago. And I got three kids, and 8, 6, and 4. And Zach's my middle son. And my boy, he got lost at the Melbourne show. And even though there were lights, bells, whistles, and sirens, and all sorts of noises and voices at the Melbourne show going on around me, because we have relationship, as I started to run around desperately and call out, Zach, Zach, his ears were like a heat-seeking missile that latched in and locked in to my voice. And after a few minutes, he sort of made his way through the crowd. And as I ran around desperately calling out his name, you know what? That's just like you and I with God. God just calls out our name in the midst of the distractions and in the midst of the noise. And he calls us to himself. And as we grow closer to him, we tune into his frequency and we actually start to engage with him in relationship. You see, the voice of God is worth committing to. I want to challenge you today to commit to the voice of God. Jesus said, my sheep not only hear my voice, and I know them, but they follow me. If you're going to follow the voice of the Spirit of God, you're actually going to need to commit to step out. Sometimes as Christians, we in Australia particularly, we're like, God, what's the least I can do and what's the most I can get away with and still follow you? Don't look at the person next to you. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? It's like, what's the least I can do? Thank you, Jesus. See, God's already speaking here. What's the least I can do? And still follow you. But God says, no, no, no. Take up your cross, follow me. You've got to commit to this. For those of you who are new believers, this is a really exciting time. And praise God for what he's doing in your life. But following Jesus is a commitment. It's a commitment. Pay the price to hear God's voice and have the courage to obey what he tells you to do. You know, John 5:19-20, Jesus said, I only ever do that which I see my Father doing. You see, I've discovered it's not what you do, it's what you do out of what God asks you to do. How many say we can get busy doing a whole lot of stuff, but it's not what you do, it's what you do out of what God asks you to do. And I've discovered in my life that the name of my church is Activate Church. We're very activistic. We get in the community. We're making stuff happen. You know, the biggest challenge for me is to actually be still and know that he is God. And God has taken me on this journey of growing me and maturing me to the point where I can actually be still and not feel guilty about it. Do you ever feel guilty when you're not doing what everyone expects you to be doing? But I've learned to stop and be still and know that he is God. And in that, I begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've discovered that following Jesus is very rarely in a straight line. We think as Westerners that the quickest way from point A to point B is in a straight line.
And if we were God, we'd just get us from where we are now to where we need to be in a straight line. But how many of us know Israel, what should have taken you 11 days to get from Egypt to the promised land took you 40 years of zigzag. And what did God provide at every step of the way? A pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And he led. Every single hero of the faith functioned in their ministry by being able to hear the voice of God. And God's purposes aren't limited by our logic. It's not limited by your logic. You see, it's illogical to us to get from point A to point B by going left and then right and then left and then right and then get there. But how many of us know God's ways aren't our ways? God's thoughts aren't our thoughts. And today, some of you in this room feel like you're bitter on a zigzag journey. Some of you, even this week, are thinking to yourself, God, what on earth is going on? My whole world is falling down around me. What's going on? What's happening? And God says, I'm here. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I love you. I'm going to bring you through this valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to bring you through this experience. I just wanted to encourage you, just in the jacket here with the scarf. I just wanted to encourage you today. One of the roles of God is to bring comfort. And you've been through a long season of real anxiety and concern in your family and in your life. And the Spirit of God just wants to say to you today that He is here to comfort you, that He loves you, that He will not let you go. And at times where you've been afraid of, you know, even feeling alone in different things, that God wants to say to you today that He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's right here with you. And He's going to sustain you and this family in this season. I don't know you. I don't know what's happening in your world at the moment. But all I know is that you're on God's radar. And He cares so much for you. And He loves you so much. And He's going to bring you through this. And where at times, you've felt lonely and felt like, God, what's happening in the midst of this? God is going to be so good to you. He's so good to you. He's put a loving family around you, people to support you. And you know what? I encourage you to get around this woman of God. Encourage her. And I have a sense you already are. I don't, you know exactly what's happened, but you need to get around her. You need to love her. You need to come alongside. You need to be praying for her. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Why don't we just stand to our feet for a moment? I want the band to come. I want to keep ministering and just sharing just for a few minutes. Is that okay? I just want us to just to sing and just worship God. And Tim, you just lead us on however you want to. But I just want to take a couple of minutes. I'd love to pray with some people, and if you'd like to receive prayer, maybe this is an area in your life, a moment where you're really hungering, desiring to hear the voice of God. And I guess all of us want that and want to engage in that sort of relationship. But maybe today some of you would just like to receive prayer, and what I'd like to do is just pray with some of you, lay hands upon some of you, which means you're going to have to get out of your seat and come down the front. And it may be a little bit intimidating, but, you know, it's as we take steps of faith that God actually comes and moves in our heart. And it can happen in your seat. And I'll pray for people in their seat and give some words to people who are standing here or worshiping here today. But some of you, you just need to step out and say, God, I'm going to posture myself. I'm going to come and stand and I'm going to just let you speak to me. Let you do your work in me. Father, I just pray right now in this room that you would unlock our capacity to hear your voice. I thank you, Father, where you have this church right now. God, you're leading this church. God, I thank you for the leadership of this house. I thank you for the spirit of family here, the sense of connectedness. And Lord, the different seasons you've taken this church. And I thank you, Lord, that you want to prosper this house. You want to bless this house. But Lord, there are people here today who are desperately needing answers for some things in their life. They're needing a sense of assurance and comfort. And I just pray right now in Jesus' name, that you just come as we sing,
And you would, Lord, an open heaven would be over this place. You'd unlock something in the spirit realm, God, and we'd begin to hear your voice, and we'd begin to see like we've never seen before. So, Father, we just create space right now for you to move and for you to speak. Right now as we sing, we're going to, Tim, just lead us on. Why don't you come? I'm just going to begin to pray with people and then might share some words with some people in the congregation. Let's just worship God together.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.